the Shattering Myths. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism in the media, and with military and economic schemes. If you'll listen, my hope is that your eyes will be open so that you ultimately change your mind towards some of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission is to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then, in our second hour, we're going to engage Yahweh on his terms by way of his one and only covenant and through his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with his guidance, you'll be able to replace your religion with reason, engage in a relationship with him. Our phone number for those who would like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said during this program is 877-300-7645. Several programs ago, I was in the midst of presenting the truth about Abraham Lincoln. And I did so really for several reasons. One of which is that the film Lincoln, which is a fictional presentation of the man, not a historical portrait, received 12 Academy Award nominations. It was a success at the box office because it presented a view of Lincoln that has been romanticized, that has been promoted, but one that is wholly untrue. I exposed the truth about Lincoln, and we're going to continue to do so today, because Washington is designed to elicit a religious fervor, patriotism on behalf of American citizens. The shrine, and it is called a temple, that it was erected to Abraham Lincoln, is on the far side of the reflecting pool, gazing out towards the Capitol. It is has the obelisk that is the Masonic temple, Masonic memorial to Washington, in between it and the Capitol building itself. And surrounding Lincoln are Lincoln's speeches as if they were scripture. The way that he is sitting larger than life, the way he is surrounded by his testimony, the way it is lit, the building that it is enshrined in, are all symbolic of religions of past where men have taken on godlike proportions. They have been deified. And such is the essence of patriotism in America. Well, the truth about Lincoln is that he was not an emancipator, but instead a racist. And he did not hesitate to promote his racist views publicly. We are considering here the truth about Abraham Lincoln. This is the things that I'll be quoting from are from the Collected Works of Abraham Lincoln, volumes 2 and 3. It's astonishing when you listen to this. In a debate against Douglas in Charleston, Illinois, September 18, 1858, Lincoln said the following: "I will say then that I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social or political equality of the white and black races. That I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes, or of qualifying them to hold office or to intermarry with white people. I will say in addition to this that there is a fiscal difference between the white and black races which I believe will forever forbid the two races living together on terms of social or political equality. Inasmuch as they cannot so live, while they do remain together, there must be a position of superior and inferior. And I say as much as any other man that I am in favor of having the superior position be assigned to the white race." If Adolf Hitler were to have made that statement, we would call him a racist and denounce him for it. If a founder of the of the Ku Klux Klan were to have made that statement, we would call them a bigoted racist and completely discount anything else that person had to say.
Not to
mention, this was Abraham Lincoln.
Not to mention that it would be something that everybody would know about that quote. Everybody would, there would be no doubt that, oh man, I can't believe that guy said that. That's, you know, that's Hitler. Or,
right.
Everybody would know about it.
And there, I don't think I have ever read, and I mean, I've read a lot. I don't think I've ever read such a vicious, inaccurate, wholly, completely racist rant. Ever? And this comes from the man that has been recast as the great emancipator, as the patron of African Americans, as the man who sacrificed 650,000 American lives to free the slaves. This is that man? Rubbish.
It goes back into the, you know, great presidents are made, you know, they've rewritten history to show that he did something that he absolutely didn't want to do, and he had no intention of doing.
Yeah, here's a man that says that there's a physical difference between white, right, and black races. There is no. Is there a physical difference? There are some. I am told that there is a reason that the average African American can run faster than the average Caucasian, and I'm told that there's a minor difference in their physiology that enables this. Okay, but this is not saying that. This is saying there's something germane to their intelligence and to their morality, their judgment that impairs blacks to whites. That is so far from being true. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that African Americans are inferior to anyone in terms of their capacity to know and understand and to be moral. And that's exactly what Lincoln was saying here, that there is something physical between the white and race, white and black races, which will forever forbid the two races living together on terms of social and political equality. So since they cannot live together, it was his job, his view, to make whites superior over blacks.
And I think one of the most horrible parts is that people in the black community, if you ask them about Lincoln, they'll tell you, you know, he's the one that freed the slaves. Reading the quotes and stuff that you sent over to me on this article are I read them and I get really angry because one, I feel like I've been, you know, I was duped, I was lied to,
yes,
it's just something that I think more people should know, and they should pay attention to.
And should care about. But what we have instead is movies like Lincoln, which mythically present a caricature of the actual man, designed entirely to play off people's indoctrination and their patriotism. We dig ourselves in deeper with each brushstroke, further from the truth. It's very much like the nature of religion. You know, people exonerate Paul and say Paul was right in lashing out against the Torah. As president, Lincoln toiled endlessly with plans to colonize, which was to deport all of the black people out of America. This is what Bennett, who was the scholar who unveiled much of this, calls Lincoln's white dream. And more recent research by the very best caliber supports Bennett's conclusions. I refer to the book called The Colonization After Emancipation by Philip Magnus of the American University and Sebastian Page of Oxford University, that using records from the American and British National Archives proves that until his dying day, Lincoln was negotiating with Great Britain and other foreign governments to deport all of the soon-to-be freed slaves out of the United States.
Think about that. That's disgusting.
When Lincoln was in Illinois as a politician in Illinois. He sponsored legislation to isolate the blacks and to push them off into these reservations so they wouldn't intermingle with whites, so that whites would never be associated with them. The very laws that came out of the South part of America that were racist, that had separate bathrooms and separate bus seats and all of that, that was actually a mild version of what Lincoln intended. Now, the Lincoln cult has fabricated excuses for everything, arguing for years that Lincoln mysteriously abandoned his obsession with colonization sometime around 1863, which would be 2 years into the war. But Magnus and Page prove that this is utter nonsense. In Illinois, the state constitution was amended in 1848 to prohibit free black people from residing in the state. To prohibit free black people from residing in the state. Lincoln supported the amendment. He also supported the Illinois Black Codes, under which Illinois blacks had no legal rights whatsoever. White people were bound to respect, and none of this disturbed Lincoln, writes Bennett. Bennett also points out the clear historical fact that Lincoln strongly supported the Fugitive Slave Act, which forced Northerners to hunt down runaway slaves and return them to their owners. He admittedly never said a word about slavery in public until he was in his 50s, while everyone else in the nation was screaming about the issue. When he did oppose slavery, Bennett points out, it was always in the abstract, accompanied by some statement to the effect that he didn't know what could be done about it. And as a presidential candidate, he never opposed Southern slavery, only the extension of slavery into the territories, explaining that we wanted to preserve the territories for, quote, free white people. So even his animosity towards the new states joining the Union, which could be slave states, it was only because he didn't want those new states to be polluted by black people. He didn't want to have to associate with them. This man was a racist of the worst order. That quote happened to be from Lincoln himself, as presented in the Collected Works of Abraham Lincoln, Volume 3, page 311. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. More in a moment. Go. Lerone Bennett, who is a scholar of the First Order, wrote in his own book, "One must never forget that Lincoln always spoke in tongues or in a private code when he was talking about slavery or Negroes. And though he said or seemed to say that slavery was wrong, he always qualified the assertion in the same speech or in a succeeding speech, saying either that slavery was wrong in an abstract sense or that it was wrong insofar as it sought to spread itself, to promote itself. He was a master politician, after all, which, as Murray Rothbard once said, means that he was a masterful liar, a conniver, and a manipulator."
As you read these, I tend to picture a few other people that are also could also be called master politicians. Paul, Muhammad, all these people did the same thing.
They specifically gave you ways to view them, however it was best suited for that particular audience. You know, Paul once wrote, "To those who observe the Torah, I appear to observe the Torah, even though I don't. To those who are without the Torah, I am without the Torah. For those who are Jewish, I come across as Jewish. For those who are Gentiles, I am as if a Gentile. I am whatever I needed to be."
A con man.
Yeah, a con man. That's exactly what that is. That is a con man. You know, when Muhammad will say that his Quran confirms the Torah, and then everything he says in his Quran is the antithesis of the Torah. But if you only read the statement, my Quran confirms the Torah, then you're going to say, well, then we can write books about this man affirming the Torah with the Arab people and just remain ignorant of everything else he said. Well, the same thing would be true of Paul. There are places where Paul speaks in favor of the Torah. But 90% of what he says attacks and assaults the Torah, undermines the Torah's credibility. And so you're left with Lincoln as you would be with Paul, as you would be with Muhammad. If what they say is true, then what they say is not true because they contradict themselves. But with people who are not making connections, who are not aware of everything that somebody has said, it becomes extremely easy to take the favorable comments out of context and to weave a patriotic religion out of them. Let's continue. After spending a quarter of a century researching and writing on the subject, Lerone Bennett Jr., concluded that, quote, Lincoln is theology, not history. He is a faith. He is a church. He is a religion. And he is his own priests and acolytes, most of whom have a vested interest in the great emancipator, in quotes, whom they are passionately opposed to anyone telling the truth about him. And with rare exceptions, you can't believe any major Lincoln scholar when they speak of Abraham Lincoln and race. You see, politics and patriotism has to have its gods. It has to have its high priests. It has to have its prophets. And it has to have faith that we can believe in. Faith placed in things that are not true. And so what does faith do? What it does when it's established is it makes anyone who exposes the truth considered crucified, you must slander them. It cannot tolerate the truth. Just as if you tell the truth to a Christian, they will slander you. If you tell the truth to a Muslim, they will try to kill you. In America, if you tell the patriotic that Lincoln is a myth, that it's a complete fraud, that it's a cult, that it's become a church, it's a religion, even though the truth is on your side, they true will slander you. They'll say, America, love it or leave it. If you don't like America, leave it.
And after hearing stuff and reading stuff like this, it always leaves me to one question, because obviously somebody, there has to be some group out there that that realized, you know, how atrocious and wrong slavery is, that they were the ones that enacted the change that need to be made. Do you have any idea on who that was, or
why it was done?
Well, I understand why. I mean, I obviously they've been drowned out, and Lincoln's been the one that now people look at. But now I want to find out who really did take those steps.
Yes, it's interesting. We can determine who did this on behalf of Paul and created Pauline Christianity. It was Marcion. Maybe we'll speak about that when we return in a moment, because I'm not certain who created the Lincoln myth, but I can speak as to why. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering this, we've been discussing the cult of Abraham Lincoln, the myth that is Abraham Lincoln, the movie out by Spielberg, won 12 Academy Award nominations, and all it does is further the myth that Abraham Lincoln was a great emancipator. So let's just speak for a moment as to why this myth was created, because this notion that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves is a complete lie.
And even Spielberg knows it, because he says it is a work of fiction. He
yes.
did say it was a work of fiction. So.
Yeah, in fact, he went on to describe the artistic license that he took in the movie and was rather proud of it being a work of fiction, not a work of history. But if you're going to do a work of fiction, why use a real person's name? Why talk about a subject that is real if you're going to present that subject in a false way?
It plays upon the religion that people are, the belief that people already have about Lincoln.
Yeah. Now, here's the reality. You had states that of the Union that, based upon a decision not to expand those states where slavery was legal, decided that they didn't want to be part of the Union anymore. Now, this is supposed to be a republic where you could choose to assemble or disassemble. But Lincoln decided that, no, he was not going to allow states that had freely elected to be part of the Union, freely elect to disassociate from the Union. So we are no longer in the world of democracy. We're no longer in the world of a republic. Now the federal government is going to force those states who do not want to be part of the Union anymore to stay in it. And if they choose to secede from the Union, then there's going to be war. And now you had a country where 650,000 of its citizens were killed, and half of the country was utterly savaged, ravaged in terrorist acts by the northern government to impose its will upon the South. And there is no moral or rational justification for what happened in what's called the American Civil War. None. And so this war to prevent freedom of choice is now romanticized, because if the truth were told about it, it's savage nation. If the truth were told that it was fought for not viable reasons, but to oppose free will, then how in the world do you get the kind of patriotism that's necessary for people to believe in its fictional currency, for people to believe and therefore surrender their taxes, for people to believe and therefore surrender their sons and daughters to go off and fight in wars? How do you get people to believe in that system if the recognition is that free will and the Constitution were torn asunder by Lincoln during the Civil War? So what did people do? They created a mythology that they recreated history to say that the Civil War was fought by the North to free slaves. It's not true. And so a mythology was born to deceive the masses of people. Now, at the end of the last segment, I said, I can tell you who the architect of the mythology was in the as it relates to Paul. That was a fellow named Marcion. Marcion was an anti-Semite. He hated Yahweh, the author of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. He hated Jews, and who were the witnesses for Yahweh, the scribes who presented us with the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And so he fell in love with Paul's writings because Paul was opposed to both Jews and he was opposed to the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And so Marcion used his considerable wealth as a shipbuilder and trader, and his connections with the Roman Catholic Church, which was also anti-Semitic, to promote Paul's letters as if they were the height of scriptures, and then combined his scriptural witness of Paul and Luke, who was Paul's kind of legal assistant and historian, along with the book of Acts, which Luke also wrote, into their version of the gospel. Luke, Paul's assistant, his two letters, and which were both hearsay, and Paul's letters into something that was promoted as the basis of the gospel of grace, which became the foundation of the religion of Christianity. That was where it began. And then Marcion came up with the concept of an Old Testament and a New Testament, and it was something that was credible because people had came to believe that the covenant was a testament as opposed to a family relationship, and that God had created a new one, and so they created a caricature of Yahusha, which they named Jesus, so they'd have no association with Yahweh, and they distanced him from the Torah, even though he was the living embodiment of the Torah, and on that basis, through Marcion, they created their new religion. Now, something similar happened in the realm of the United States. And you think of one of the most evil drunkards ever to roam this earth, and Ulysses S. Grant, him becoming, going from ruthless general who was responsible for the killing of three times more of his own men than of those in opposition in the South. This drunkard becomes president. That you have a man like Lincoln who held seances in the White House, viewed as this great Christian leader, all to create this myth of patriotism so that people can easily be manipulated. Now, it is, Lincoln was such an odd creature that during days where he knew that battles were raging, where tens of thousands of Americans were being killed in a war that he created, Lincoln during that time would hold great galas in the White House, party, eat, drink, and be merry, while Americans were dying in mass. This is a man when his own child was in the last days of their life, held parties in the White House, and never so much as went up to that child's bed. This is a very perverted and sick man that we have built shrines to. You know, there's something entirely twisted about that, and it strikes me that it's somewhat similar to Christians going back and referring to America being a Christian country, and they talk about the Christian faith of the forefathers when George Washington wasn't a Christian. He was a Freemason. You know, he wasn't just a Freemason. He was the highest ranking. I mean, the only Freemason in the country that had a higher rank than George Washington was Benjamin Franklin. Freemasonry isn't a Christian religion. It is a derivative of Adam Weishaupt's sick and perverted mind. It is purely satanic. And even Thomas Jefferson, who had many insights worth considering. In fact, Thomas Jefferson once wrote that the first to corrupt Yahusha's message was Paul. That's why in his Bible, he only had the words and deeds of Yahusha and excluded everything else because he knew the rest of it was untrustworthy because it contradicted and corrupted the message of Yahusha. And yet, we build this edifice up saying that America is a Christian country. Nothing could be further from the truth. Thomas Jefferson was a Jacobin, and the Jacobins are the French equivalent of the Freemasons, which were conceived and indoctrinated by one Adam Weishaupt in his Order of the Illumes.
This could be part of the reason why we're told to walk away from your country and religion. I mean, it borders on the exact same thing.
Yes. Guys, the fact is that God recognized that religion and politics are typically wed together for the purpose of individual men and women trying to fleece and mislead other men and women and to empower themselves through the use of political and religious power. And that's why God's first instruction of Abraham as a prerequisite to participating in the covenant was for him to walk away from his country, to walk away from Babylon. And you recognize that when God speaks of Babylon throughout his Torah, prophets, and Psalms, he speaks of it as being the birthplace of religion and politics, of militarism and of economic schemes. And he denounces everything that it represents. And that's why God asks us to walk away from these things before we are in a position to walk with him and embrace his covenant.
Well, there are two things that strip you of your free will. Religion, it's you have to believe this or else. Patriotism, it's you do this because you're told to. And if you don't believe me, you told me the story about not taking your hat off for the national anthem.
Yes.
I mean, good luck. I'm willing to bet you'll get at least one person that says something to you.
Oh yeah, attack you.
And they'll promote
that America is the land of the free, and yet if you don't acquiesce to what they want you to do, you're not free to do that.
Exactly. And it strips you of your free will. That person does it because their dad did it and their dad did it before them, and that's what they're supposed to do because they love their country, you know.
Yeah, try doing this. Somebody's having a public prayer. Now, mind you, even Yosha said, I don't want you to pray in public. So they're doing something which they allege is in his name when he said, don't do this. And you don't take off your hat and bow your head and remain silent while they're making a mockery of God's instructions. They'll lash out at you. I mean, it's just we have created a nation of indoctrinated fools. Poisoned by politics, poisoned by religion, unwilling to walk away from them. As a matter of fact, you know, you listen to the politics of the religious, and they'll talk about God bless America. God hates this country because we have done everything possible to make ourselves appear like an abomination before him.
Well, we're not getting any better. It's actually getting worse. You brought it up during politics that you can't say the bad things about the country because once people hear that, oh no, we don't do that, and it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, America has this overwhelming arrogance about it that the rest of the world recognizes that Pollyanna, a view that is so superficial and so inconsistent with reality, but Americans don't seem to get it. They don't realize that they're complete hypocrites. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back in a moment. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. At the end of the last segment, I said something that probably would get most patriotic Americans upset. I said that the world recognizes that America is out of touch with reality, that Americans are largely hypocrites. Now, let's examine some of those reasons that they say so. You know, America claims that it's the most peaceful nation on earth and that we're all about peace. We want the world to live in peace. And yet, America outspends the rest of the world combined in things that kill and destroy.
And it's not close. It's by a lot.
Well, you look at Great Britain, which has the largest military in Europe. The United States outspends the United Kingdom 18-1 per capita on its military. And so it's not just a question of the difference in the size of the two countries. We outspend the United Kingdom 18-1 per capita on our military. The United States collectively outspends the rest of the world combined on its military. And militaries aren't defensive in today's world, particularly America's military. There's nothing defensive about an aircraft carrier. It's an offensive weapon. There's nothing defensive about a missile launched from a bomber. It's an offensive weapon. America's drones are used to be offensive weapons. And so we claim that we're this peaceful nation, and yet we're the one invading other countries and deploying our offensive weapons around the world.
It's not only that, but not only do we do this peace through war thing, which is just wrong, but we feel that when we do use our military, that we do no wrong.
Well, for example, look at the invasion of Iraq. As a result of invading Iraq, we increased terrorism rather than diminishing terrorism a million times. There was almost, well, on average, of 2 minor terrorist acts per year in Iraq before our invasion, and now there are 20 or 30 major terrorist acts a day in Iraq. We radically increased terrorism in Iraq. Rather than freeing Iraq, we gave Iraq to Iran. Rather than saving people's lives by invading Iraq, our invasion of Iraq led to the deaths of 1 million Iraqis. It's so upside down in terms of what we, the results of what we do. You know, you look at Afghanistan. rather than freeing Afghanistan. For example, the big thing that we had is a problem with the fundamentalist Muslims were treating women like Muslims treat women. You know that the fate of women, the plight of women, is vastly worse in Afghanistan now that we've invaded the country?
I can believe it. Well, we always feel that you can force democracy. There's just sometimes democracy, it will not work in certain areas.
Well, first of all, democracy is not a greater good.
No, it is not.
It should not be our vanguard. You know, if you look at the most democratic country in the history of the world, it would be Sparta. You can't find a more repulsive country in world history than the vanguard of democracy, Sparta. Why are we viewing this thing as a good when it in fact is an evil? Our founding fathers knew it was an evil.
Well, it's not working for us right now in America at all. You're getting people that are now, the majority of people are now voting themselves to get money.
Right.
Not only are they voting themselves to get money, but it's money that
Greed.
We don't have.
Greed. And stealing it from our children.
You're stealing it from the children, or they're trying to get it from people that have worked to get what they have. It really is two wolves and a lamb talking about what's for lunch.
Yeah, let's take another thing. America views itself as the land of the free. Do you know that America incarcerates a higher percentage of its citizens than does any other country on earth? What is less free than someone who is in prison? America imprisons a higher percentage of its citizens than does any nation on earth, and it's not even close. It's kind of like the military, where we are worse than the rest of the world combined. There isn't a nation anywhere close to us in terms of the percentage of its people that it imprisons.
And I'm kind of laughing as we're talking about this. I'm picturing somebody that's hearing this, and they're sitting there going, well, if you don't like it, why don't you leave? Which there again just proves that.
You know, and if I didn't have children and that were in this country, I'd go to New Zealand, for example, in a heartbeat. And you know, even the research now shows that while America used to be amongst the freest countries on earth, it's now ranked somewhere in the 27th or 28th in terms of freedom and opportunity.
Yeah, the thing that makes me laugh, though, is that guy's thinking that, or potentially a woman, is thinking that, and, like, that seems to be the stupidest thing, the stupid way to think, and that's exactly what we were just talking about. It's the arrogance of America.
Right. Unless you agree with me, and even if I'm been indoctrinated in a lie, then you are not welcome here. We don't want anyone here telling us the truth, because we can't handle it anymore. It doesn't suit with our sensibilities. I'm Yada. This is Shattering.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that...